Hello and welcome back to another episode of Into the 99, where we've got 99 cards, because Commander's number one. I'm rolling my music again. What am I doing? All right, it's staying in, bloopers or not. We've got the boys here. I've got Sherman, I've got Slothy. Sherman, how are you doing?
Doing good. That was a good one.
We do one take here. It doesn't matter if it's a good take.
It's so true. There's so many reasons why, like, you know, we say things and we're just like, oh, that's so cringe, but like, well, whatever, who cares? But yeah.
We could so easily switch it. We could so easily fix the mistake, and it's just beyond me. So anyone listening, you get the intro song a little longer, and that's just how it is. And Slothy, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I mean, it's a good intro song, so why not listen to it twice?
Yeah, exactly. We roll it when we roll it. That's what do you want me to say, right?
How are you doing today?
I'm good. It's been a good week. Like it was a lot shorter for me for a lot of things. We have a bunch of people on vacation next week, so I know why it's been shorter for me. It's because next week's gonna suck. I guarantee I'm going to be doing just a bunch of extra stuff, but this week was wonderful. So no, it wasn't too bad. I'm looking at getting back into an old hobby. So talking to some old buddies too. And it was nice. How about you yourself? How was your week?
Pretty good.
Coffee?
had a couple of training courses. So it was once again, a pretty short week. I can now drive some heavy equipment that I'm excited to drive.
Are you coming to semi-truck? Let's go.
not just yet.
Semi truck. And Sherman, how are you this week?
My week sucked. We won't get into it. Let's talk about some cards.
That's fair. Yeah, so we have Outlaws of Thunder Junction, the cowboy set, all the yeehaws you could imagine. Again, we just did spoilers. Like it never ends. I complain about it every time, but it's just too many spoilers.
Yeah. Constant spoiler season is exhausting sometimes.
Oh, it's a lot. Oh, it's crazy, right? Like, just give us a minute. But we're gonna try rip through some of these. We've got, I would say, a fair bit of them. So
we have a decent amount. Like, but I have to say, like, one of the things I didn't like about this spoiler season was how they have the subsets.
Oh, I know their bonus sheets. They apparently, from what I have seen, they wanted to do something similar to Aftermath, but Aftermath was like a very big blunder, apparently. So, yeah. But I don't know. I hate like the 30 set symbols and the like 15 kind of art frames. Like, you know, it was cute in one or two, but it's everything now. It's like, hey, do you have a Llanowar Elves? And they're like, which version do you want? Do you want the version from the secret set, the guest set? Do you want the extended art foil, the Halo foil? The Chrysler 300 foil where it's in a car. I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah, it really makes a lot of the alternate art cards feel a lot less special to pull if everything
is alternate art, right?
Is alternate art.
If everything's special, nothing's special.
Exactly.
True enough. Yeah, there's so like I said, there is a lot. There are some really cool cards in the set. I'll give it that. But from a lore standpoint, I hate it. I thought that they had such a good direction with the Omen Path stuff, and I just feel they're butchering what they could have done with the story. They're like, like I said, they have the ability now to, for a quick lore, wah, 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 they have the ability to no longer need planeswalkers. Everyone, like our heroes, can just kind of go in between the planes, do what they want. And they've used that to be like, cowboy set? Question mark? Like, it's just... I don't get it. I don't understand the allure. Maybe people love the set, but it just like you'll see in the spoilers. Like everyone's here. Like like Mark Rosewater is probably in a card on here. Like there, it's every single person is on this plane in a cowboy hat, something something saloon. You guys get it. Let's
watch the secret lair for this be like Back to the Future.
The secret lair somehow actually makes sense rather than this. Again, none of it makes sense. They're like, oh, here's Tiny Bones in a cowboy hat. And I'm like, all right, who was asking for this? Who was asking for another discard commander, but with a cowboy hat? Like, you know, there's just so many, there's good amount of salty cards in this. And it's just like, but you know, they're in a saloon. Yeah, that's my thought process on it. So let's jump right into some of our commander cards here. I'll take us away with our first one. It's this Gonti. Canny Acquisitor. It should be Inquisitor. Acquisitor. I guess he's stealing. Whatever. It's 2-1 black, 1-green, 1-blue for a 5/5 Aetherborn Rogue. Spells you cast but don't own cost 1 less to cast. Who doesn't like a good reduction? Whenever one or more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, look at the top card of that player's library, exile it face down. You may play it for as long as it remains exiled, and the mana of any type can be spent. That's not good to put in green. Like, that, you go Scoot Swarm, and then you just start, like, swinging out at everyone and taking the top card every turn of their library. At least it's only whenever one or more and not whenever one, so that I can't, like, Scoot Swarm exile your whole deck. But
that'd be funny.
I'd be all right with it, right? Like, it's it would be not the worst thing in the world.
The only thing I'm worried about for Gonti with this is, like, anything that's unblockable, give it Myriad.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And you're in blue for all of the colors that make it so you can't hit it. The face commander of the stealing deck. Someone want to take the Olivia?
Sloppy, you said you wanted this one.
Sure. Yeah, so we got Olivia, Opulent Outlaw, 1 in Mardu for a 3/3 Legendary Vampire Assassin with Flying and Lifelink. Whenever one or more outlaws you control deals combat damage to a player, create a treasure token. So assassins, mercenaries, pirates, rogues, and warlocks. And then you can pay 3 to sacrifice 2 treasures and put 2 +1/+1 counters on each creature you control. Activate only as a sorcery.
I don't like that it's locked at sorcery speed.
Yeah.
But that is a really good ability, sorry.
Yeah. No, I interrupted you. So, like, I think the fact that the ability is sorcery speed sucks, but at the same time, I could see how it can get out of hand if it wasn't sorcery speed.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, just power dump a bunch of, power dump a ton of them in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, especially, like, you're in white and black, right? So, like, you have, like, things like Smothering Tide, you have, like, Smuggler's, Share. You know, you have Rebel in Riches, things like that, right? A lot of things that give you treasures.
Yeah, the treasure theme is already there.
Yeah. And then in red, you've got things like Dockside as well.
Oh, yeah. And
Dockside, you know, Goldspan.
So, mm-hmm. Captain Lannery's Storm, or Brass's Bounty.
Was it Ancient Brass Dragon?
Yeah. I think the sorcery speed...
We're not even doing a spoiler anymore. We're just brewing Olivia.
Surprise, this is a live brew.
That's hilarious. I love it. Yeah, no, all it's right. I could see that. I could see its value. I guess locking some of the treasures away is fair.
We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
Yeah, because, like, it's just like, you know, if you had it at instant speed, just do it on everyone's turns. Who cares?
Yeah.
I'm just kind of glad that it says activate only as a sorcery and not activate only once each turn as well.
Yeah, once each turn's rough.
Yeah. All right. Let's go on to the next one. Well, we are not brewing Olivia right now. The next one is Stella Lee, wild card for 1 and a blue and a red. It's a human rogue. That's a 2/4. Whenever you cast your second spell each turn, exile the top card of your library. Until the end of your next turn, you may play that card, and you can tap Stella Lee to copy target instant or sorcery spell you control. You may choose new targets for the copy, activate only if you have cast 3 or more spells this turn.
It's pretty good.
So, spell slingers.
It's low cost, too, and you're really incentivized to do something like save this for when you have 4 mana. You cast your Stella, you cast a Brainstorm, then you get your Exile, so you get a top. Like, you're already pretty incentivized to do that. And if you have a Haste Enabler, right? Again, with just that Brainstorm, we're double Brainstorming, getting our ability off. Like, I could see it being a fun deck.
Yeah. The only thing that might be difficult would be casting three or more spells, but at the same time, I don't think it's going to be too difficult.
Yeah. So, I think that's fair.
But I think this commander would be a good challenge for people to build around.
I could see it being actually a pretty good time.
Yeah.
I will. I'll jump to our next one. We've got Yuma, Proud Protector, and that I just enjoy that because Yuma's where I go vacation all the time in Arizona. So I enjoyed this one. It's a good desert card. Nice little flavor there. Yuma is 5/1 red, 1 green, 1 white, which is an absurd cost. That is just too high already. Like that's just one of the silliest costs I've seen in a commander for a pretty long time, to be honest. I get it. It's a landfall. It's still 8 mana in the command zone. That sucks. One, you get blasted by one removal spell and your commander's 10 mana. What are we playing? The Ur-Dragon? Right? Like, that's pretty bonkers. But I go on. It costs one less for each land in your graveyard. Okay, yeah, all right. That's a little more fair, at least. But it's still, I don't know. It's a 6/6. Whenever Yuma, Proud Protector, enters or attacks, you may sack a land. If you do, draw a card, which is very Gitrog-esque. And black mana ability kind of thing. Like, that's like a black identity to sacrifice and draw. Not these colors, so I don't understand it. And whenever a desert's put into your graveyard from anywhere, you get a 4/2 green plant warrior creature token with reach. It does seem fun, and the artwork is really silly. I do really enjoy the artwork a lot, like the little cactus baby plant thing. That's dope. I don't know about on its face, I don't like it because of its cost. But again, if you're running your fetches, but then you want deserts in the graveyard, it doesn't. I don't know how I feel about it. I'd love to see how the list plays out.
Agreed.
It is the best way, right? Who wants to take this Eris?
Yeah. Then we've got Eris, Roar of the Storm. This is a 10 mana 4/4. 8 blue and red for legendary elemental warlock. Costs 2 less to cast for each different mana value among instants and sorceries in your graveyard. Flying in prowess. And whenever you cast your second spell each turn, create a 4/4 red dragon elemental creature token with flying and prowess.
Interesting. Like, I can see this one getting out of hand, like, you know, and the cost reducing by 2 for each different mana value in your graveyard.
That's pretty wild, yeah. That is good reduction.
Yeah, but I don't know, like, it seems powerful, but it does nothing for me. I don't feel any excitement.
Yeah, it is cool that it's like a token generator, but again, you have to jump through the hoops of it. Normally, you'd want to, if this was like a Mizzix where it just reduces by X amount, right? Then I would just fill it with one drops and every turn, just like one drop cantrip, and then get my dragons going. But it's reduced by different mana values. It does at least have prowess. So trying to do what the deck does, you're going to have like 6/6s. But it just seems like a lot of hoops to jump through to just make some dragons. Like, I don't know.
Who knows? Like, I might try building it, but like I said, this one doesn't excite me. The next one excites me. Okay. And that one's Felix Five Boots. For 2 and a black, green, and a blue, it's an ooze rogue. That's a 5/4. It has menace, ward 2. I'm honestly starting to get sick of ward. And if a creature you control dealing combat damage to a player causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, that ability triggers an additional time. So combat damage panharmonicon, pretty much. Or whatever you want to call it.
Panharm damage con? I don't know.
But like, this card is exciting because it's telling you, hey, you want to be aggressive. This is probably the first time we see combat damage triggers going off twice.
And in Sultai, right? Like, it's so weird.
Yeah. But this excites me.
This is what I don't like about the set, but what I do like about Magic. That's the best way to look at it. The artwork is one of the, like, again, I'll pop that artwork back up on the screen. The artwork's ridiculous. The artwork is so silly. Like, I can't even begin to describe how absurd, like, do you know how much money 6 cowboy boots costs, first off? Like, it's not feasible. But again, it's just like, it's a gunslinging, like, sorry, 5. Felix 5 boots. He doesn't have 6. Let's be crazy. That means he has a spare boot somewhere. It's just so silly, but the art is so fun, Right. So like I said, I don't like the set's idea at all, but there's some cards that are just so absurd on their face that I can't help but smile when I see them. And this is one of them. Like combat damage Muldrotha looks cracked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like it just I don't know.
Yeah, like it's something that like it's like a train wreck. You know, like you don't want to like you feel bad, you don't want to look, but at the same time you can't stop staring at it.
It looks fun to play. I'll probably build a Felix Five Boots. I love the extra stuff. It is statted up pretty good with that menace, that ward too. Like ward, Voja's miserable to play against because of ward.
Mm-hmm.
Like specifically because of the ward mechanic. Voja sucks. This turns, like if you try Generous Gifts, this for instance, right? 5 mana removal.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Nope. So yeah, there's definitely like some downsides to them putting ward on everything because a lot of commanders, we played the other day, our Toxrill game is a great example of like, could you imagine if they, right now, if they printed Toxrill, they probably would have like made it trigger like every main phase instead of that. They would have pumped that power up and they would have given them ward 7. I don't know. Ward sacrifice a creature. Like just some nonsense, right? Some foolishness. I just, they're overstatting a lot of cards. But then again, I say that, we go back to our pop-up screen here. We've got the last two commanders are 10 mana and 8 mana. So like, I guess you probably do want a little bit of protection if you're dumping out a raw. Because again, this Eris, for instance, right? That it's great. It's cool cost reduction. But if you kill this a single time and then Bajuka bog me, you've just effectively done a 30 cent make my commander 12 mana.
But then put the ward on something like Eris, not on 5 boots.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like the 5 boots is a little cracked. I do really, really like this other commander for I believe it's the desert deck, obviously. It's this Kiri Talented Scout, the plant creature token. Look, a cute little cactus with its flower. We've got a 0/3 plant druid. 1, a red, a green, a white for a legendary creature plant druid. A legendary druid in the command zone is fun. There's a lot of good druids. Other plants and tree folks, you get +2/+0. I wish it did also apply to druids, which is cool, but this is a new coloring for it's a new coloring ability for tree folk. We've never had tree folk have red, right? Mm-hmm, like at least as far as I know, unless you're like counting Morophon or something. So an aggro tree folk kind of deck would be actually pretty interesting, right? Like you still have the ability to get those like the big butt swings in and the +2, and then at the beginning of your post-combat main phase, return target plant, tree folk or land, I'm Australian today, card from your graveyard to your hand. So that is really, really good. Like you're able to get, I think this is the better commander personally.
Yes, agreed, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like even if you just get a Evolving Wilds off and you get a start cracking an Evolving Wilds in extra time every turn, That's so good to fetch through your deck so fast, right? You're in all the colors to get your extra land drops. And then again, you're going to build probably planted tree folk, right? So you're going to be able to get just a ton of like really, really good value stuff back and forth. Like Phytotitan's a really good card because it just keeps coming back. And this just makes the problem with Avenger of Zendikar is that Avenger of Zendikar, it's mean, right? But at least it's only once. But you're in a color that can blink your Avenger of Zendikar, and then you kill my Avenger of Zendikar, and I'm like, okay, I bring it back and cast it again. And it will make those 2/1s off the hop for all the lands. I could see this one going pretty crazy, and Phylath fits in these colors. Like I see Kiri being the more scary version of these two. Again, I don't know the deck list. I don't know what's in them, but I just, on its face, I like this. I saw a lot of people complaining about the power and toughness of the creature, but it just, again, from the artwork, from the design, I enjoy it.
Yeah. And yeah. People need to calm down on the complaining for the power toughness of creatures like this. Like, not every single set has to be overpowered.
Ugh. I saw someone was just going off about like one of the cards and they're just like, this is terrible. It only has a combined power and toughness of 1/3. And I'm like, all right, but who cares? It's a good card. It's 3 mana. They're like, oh, no, it's not playable. No one's going to play this in Limited or Modern. I'm like, it's very clearly not for that. It's made for Commander. No one's playing this card anywhere else. These are Commander cards. And there's lots of cards I've seen that are not good Commander cards. And everyone's like, oh, they're a bomb and pioneer. And I'm like, talking Spanish to me. I don't know what you're saying, right?
Yeah, it's like, oh my goodness, they reprinted Arcane Signet and Soul Ring. Oh, this is not used in Modern or Pioneer or Standard. Why are they doing this? Like, who cares? It's not for those.
Get it out of here, right? Oh, the next one. Yeah, I think Slothy is excited for this next one. Slothy, please.
Yeah, Slothy is excited for this next
one. Yeah, I thought so.
We've got Vihan Goldwaker, red, white, black for a 3/3 legendary dwarf warlock. Other outlaws you control have vigilance and haste. And at the beginning of combat on your turn, you may have treasures you control become a 3/3 construct assassin artifact creature in addition to their other types until end of turn. I honestly think that this one, because I think I'm going to pick up the Olivia deck, but I think I'm going to run this as the commander.
That's fair. I could see that as a valid option, yes.
Yeah.
You go, please. I got so many things to say on it.
Oh yeah, this one excites me as well. I think this one seems like it's a great design, and when I saw this, I thought Slothy is what was going to play this as well. Just him and his stupid cyber patrolman give him all a 3/3. It's like, okay, no matter what, whether you block or not, you're still taking 3 damage.
I didn't even think about a 3/3 treasures. Yeah. I'd lose my mind.
Yep.
And it does make them. It also makes them assassins. So even if they just came in this turn, you're able to, because there's lots of wheels in these colors still, right? Like you have winds of change. You've got the, what's the wheel of fates, that kind of stuff, wheel of fortune, whatever one they are. Mm-hmm. Mages of the wheel, any of those things, right? So with a smothering ties out, you could very, very easily come into 21 treasures that now have haste, and you're like, so what's up?
So how's it going, guys?
Yeah. I introduce you to the Krakening. I'm cracking a treasure, but not for mana. Yeah, that's I think that's a really, really powerful card. And again, it's I like the Outlaws thing. I hope that they try and do more things, right? Like the more things like the Outlaws, where they're not a new creature type, but a new creature classification that fit into things, right? Like a
party.
Yeah, exactly. Over. Like a party, like Outlaws. Like you'll probably see one for Elvish Alliance or something, right? Where it'll be like for Lord of the Rings, like an elves, dwarves, humans kind of thing are part of this party, right? So
yeah,
I am a fan of that one. I think that is going to hit like a truck. Like I think there's no way around. You're really gonna. Because you're not, there's no downside, right? You're already running, if your whole deck is made to generate treasures, you usually need something to do with those treasures. You got to draw to a win con. Your win con is just sitting here as your commander that you just absolutely, break face with.
Your win con is your treasures.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe the treasure is the friendships we made in the game. I also swing that. We'll go into the... So we've got some of the new cards here. We'll do the Angel of Indemnity. So 5 and a white for a 5/5 Angel Warrior with Flying Lifelink. When it enters the battlefield, return target permanent with mana value 4 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. And then it has Encore, exile it for each opponent, create a copy. The Encore is 8 mana. I could see the value of it. It's not bad. It's just kind of a very expensive Sun Titan, but it gets you 1 higher.
Yeah.
Also still at the same cost of Sun Titan, but without the ETB or the attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But okay. It has Flying and Lifelink, which hurts.
It does have Flying and Lifelink. And that Encore is pretty good.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to take the next card because Daniel's reversing order.
Oh, was it? Oh, sorry.
Still not over that game.
Yeah, there's only 2 cards on the last line. I'm bad at math, all right? That's not my strong suit. Math is for blockers, and I'm blocking nothing.
Okay, next card we have is Angelic Sellsword for 4 and a white. It's an angel mercenary that's a 4/4, has flying vigilance. Whenever Angelic Sellsword or another non-token creature enters the battlefield under your control, create a 1/1 red mercenary creature token with tap it to target creature you control gets +1/+0 until end of turn, activate only as a sorcery, which I don't like. That one should just be a combat trick. Anyways, whenever Angelic Sellsword attacks, if its power is 6 or greater, draw a card.
Super Elish Nornbait. If you have to ignore all of the card text except for whenever another non-token enters, create a creature. Yeah. Because that turns all of your weenies in, like I said, in an Elish Norn deck. If I have this out and I drop down, this is already two with Elish Norn, then I've got I drop down like a Soul Sisters. I get two more, right? Like this is only to pump creatures out. No one cares about the 1/0. No one cares about the card draw. Flying Vigilance. Ooh, whoop-de-doo. No, this is a creature generator.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Yep.
Yeah.
If you look at it that way, it's cool. If you look at it other ways, it's very mid.
Yeah.
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 Next one we've got here is Sand Scout. 1W for a 2/2 human scout. When it enters the battlefield, if an opponent controls more lands than you, search your library for a desert card, put it on the battlefield tapped, and then shuffle. And whenever one or more lands are put into your graveyard from anywhere, create a 1/1 red, white, and green Sand Warrior creature token. Its ability triggers only once each turn.
I think that last line ruined this card.
Yes.
I think that, again, if I want to Zurn Orb my field to try and make some blockers, let me. Let the boy play.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, don't penalize me.
At the same time, though, like, I understand where you're coming from, Daniel, but at the same time, like, I do feel that they need to have more creatures where the ability says that it only triggers once each turn, or else it just goes so wild. It just overperforms, and, like, you're basically playing against people that are playing solitaire, it feels like.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of strong stuff. I feel that could have been a... Well, I like Windgrace style decks, right? Like, I like to throw your lands away for a benefit, right? Like, it's the, I look at life as a resource, I look at my lands as a resource, but I also look at permanence as a resource, and I'd like to sacrifice them to win games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, at the same time, if they don't put in things like where it says, like, this ability triggers only once each turn, there's a good chance that it goes into an infinite combo.
Sure. Is it possible that someone's going to use this as a loop to strip mine my whole field? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But you get what you get. You roll the dice. I'll jump back into our normal order. We have We Ride at Dawn. 2W. Legendary creatures you cast have Convoke, which is pretty good in a lot of decks. Whenever your commander attacks, you make one of those mercenaries. I'm not reading all that. Not bad.
Yeah. So, but Convoke is nice.
Yeah. It's okay. It's it's good for like a Legends Matters deck, like a Jota kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're finally into my favorite color, blue. Starting off with Arcane Heist for 2/2 blue. It's a sorcery. You may cast target instant or sorcery card from an opponent's graveyard without paying its mana cost. Oh damn. If that spell would be put into their graveyard, exile it instead. And it has Cypher.
That's pretty cracked.
Wow.
That's pretty nuts. This is going in every single mill deck that ever exists as well, because that's really good. But just the ability to cipher it on is pretty silly. The ability to get all of their, like, you could potentially take some, like, Aminatu Augury.
Or expropriate or something. Should,
or, you know, or, just or, counter yeah. it. Yeah, or, like, any of the extra turn kind of stuff if you have, like, any nonsense in people's deck. And this is in the Storm deck, right? You can storm this off. You can. This one seems good. I'll give you this one. This one's up there.
I like this one. I like this one a lot.
I bet you do.
Then we've got Forger's Foundry. 2W for an artifact. Tap for blue. When you spend this mana to cast an instant or sorcery spell with mana value 3 or less, you may exile that spell instead of putting it into its owner's graveyard as it resolves. And 3W to tap, you may cast any number of spells from among cards exiled with Forger's Foundry without paying their mana cost. Activate only as a sorcery.
I'll give them that one. I'll give them that one as the activate only as a sorcery, because that would be crazy.
Yeah.
To instant speed, like, blast somebody with, like, 50 sorceries.
Yeah. That's crazy. I love this card. I love the artwork. It reminds me of literally how coins used to be forged. So, like, or like for like counterfeiting and everything. Like, okay, history time, not magic related. I'm sorry, but I find this fact really interesting.
History so, o'clock.
Coin with coins. Okay, so coins, like, if you look now, like, around the edges, they're like ridged, right? or they're like some like you know, they're a certain shape and everything. Reason why that is the case is because back in the day, they weren't perfectly round. So people would take coins and they would do something called clipping. They would shave off or clip off small sections of the, around the coin, take that metal, melt it down, and make another coin.
Press it into something new kind of thing. Well, yeah, exactly. Especially because like the everyone's seen like a worn down quarter or something before, right? Like they're not indestructible pieces, right? So yeah, they would degrade over time, especially. So yeah, you just collect up like all your little broken bits.
Yeah, and that's what they used to do. And like, you know, the government would go against, like fight against this by making, like, they started off with making like little ridges around the coin, so if someone tried to cut it or something like that or shave it, you could tell that they were doing that.
That's cool. Yeah, so that's, you can see this is a damaged one.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, history was into the 99.
Bom, bom, bom. Our next one we have is Lock and Load, which already looks pretty good. Two and a blue for sorcery. Draw a card, then draw a card for each other instant sorcery you've cast this turn, which is awesome. And then it has plot for three and a blue. You may pay three and a blue, exile this card from your hand, cast it as a sorcery on a later turn without paying its mana cost, plot only as a sorcery. I do like that plot mechanic of like, save it up and then just, you know, play it later on.
Mm-hmm.
I like to threaten people with things, right? So I like to, like, this is me plotting my revenge over here. I've got like 20 things in exile. I'm just waiting for my turn. Just sitting there. Oh, I'm scheming.
Yeah, you have like 20 things that are like being plotted. Oh man, storm decks were just gonna get even stronger now because of this.
You're gonna like the next one here, Sherman.
Oh, let's see. Smirking Spelljacker for four and a blue. A Djinn Wizard Rogue for a 3/3 flash flying. When the Spelljacker enters the battlefield, exile target spell and opponent controls. I like. Whenever the Spelljacker attacks, if the card is exiled with it, you may cast the exile card without paying its mana cost.
That's insane. That's a really good card. Somebody tries to cast Ulamog or something, you just blast it with the Spelljacker. Then you attack and you still get the cast trigger.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's so stupid.
And that's also ETB. That's not ETB on cast. That's blink. That's blink power.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
gross.
That's like a mythic. No, that should not be like a rare. That should be a mythic.
That's a really gross card.
Yeah.
I love blue.
and again, five mana is not... I'm looking at counterspell mana lower, right? I'm looking at three or four. But exile target spell and opponent controls is really, really strong.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it could be anything. It could be an Ulamog, it could be Avenger Zendikar, it could be the person's commander. Well, but even if it's commander, like, you don't really want to do that. But but at the same time,
well, even if you did that, you turn Toxril into a 9 mana. You turn whichever Eris. You know, Eris is suddenly 13 or 14 mana. Get it out.
I just like the fact that I can blink this at the same time.
Again, if you remove the whole bottom line of text, when it enters, exile target spell and opponent controls, extremely playable card, right? Like that would make it a very, very powerful counter spell to get rid of win cons. Like that is awesome on a 3/3 flash flying body. We're looking great. But then they just added like the absurdity of like, also you can cast it. Don't even worry about that, guys.
So this is what I would do with this. Okay. I would pair this with a Displacer Kitten.
Yep.
So it's like, oh, you cast, like, let's say you cast an Ulamog. Okay, I'll cast Opt. I'll scry, draw a card. Oh, I will blink my Spelljacker. It enters the battlefield. I will take that spell.
Well, there's so many fast blinks. Like, this is going to go in every ETB deck that can afford it, right? Like, any of your any of your nonsense, like, rune kind of decks, where you can just blink things in and out with your fast blinks. Like, that's mean. You start getting Preston copies with this? No, not today. Not today. Oh, yeah, Slothy, please. I'm not good at counting.
Next up, we've got Thunderclap Drake. One a blue for 2/1 Drake with flying. Instant and sorcery spells you cast cost one less. And two and a blue, you can sacrifice it when you cast your next instant or sorcery spell this turn. Copy it for each time you've cast your commander from the command zone this game.
Decent.
Huh.
Yeah.
Not bad. Two mana, it's not a bad card. It's overall good. 2-1 flying, reduction, and late game bomb potential.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Ooh, this next one's us. It's the boys. We're back in town. X2 and a black sorcery. Return X target outlaw creatures from your graveyard to the battlefield. It's a cool name. It's pretty cool art. It doesn't seem like a great card. It's very specific.
Yeah. Once again, though, like if you're building around that, those tribes or whatever.
You're not wrong.
It's not bad.
You're not wrong. For me, mid.
And I mean, you've got all the treasure to pay for the X cost as well.
You do have all the treasure. All the treasure to pay my X. Someone take the next card.
We got something with incredible artwork, in my opinion. Okay. Charred Grave Robber for 2 and a black. Skeleton Mercenary for 3-1. When the Grave Robber enters the battlefield, return target outlaw card from your graveyard to your hand, and it has escape for 3 and double black. Exile 4 other cards from your graveyard. And Charred Grave Robber escapes with a +1/+1 counter on it.
Again, I find these artworks are better than these cards.
I know.
These are good. Like, that's good artwork. Like, it's really good artwork, and it's pretty all right. It's not even pretty all right. It's pretty bad. Like, I guess, like, you get a card back. It doesn't seem wonderful to me. Again, I'm often wrong on cards like this. I don't have the imagination to see where they can go, but it just seems not great. This should have been like the artwork on like a mythic, or not like like a legendary that I can play from the command zone.
Yeah, the artwork's so sick.
The artwork's great. Slothy, please.
Yeah. We've got Discreet Retreat. 3 and a black for an aura. You can enchant land. Enchanted land has tap to add 2 mana of any one color. Spend this mana only to cast outlaw spells or activate abilities from outlaw sources. And whenever you cast your first outlaw spell each turn, you draw a card and lose 1 life.
Again,
this one.
Again, it's if you play.
Yeah.
But this artwork for this deck is crazy.
It's so good.
Like, this is good. Like, I would like playmats or prints of all of these so far. Like, they're really, really cool. Oh, like, even this next one with, like, the Gonti artwork. We've got this Heartless Conscription. 6 double black. Exile all creatures. That's gross. That's first off brutal. For each card exiled this way, you may play that card for as long as it remains exiled, and mana of any type can be spent to cast it, exile it. That is rough. I'll give you that one. That's rough. You can play all my creatures in a deck. Like, that hurts.
Oh, and the flavor text on this is so nice.
I was just reading the flavor text. Sherman, take it away, please.
Yeah. History remembers the conquerors, not the bones they stand on. That is such a sick flavor text.
Yeet. Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Oh, I really like this card. I really, really, really do. I like it a lot.
Bet. That's killer.
All right. Let's go on to the next one before we spend an hour talking about how great that card is. We have Orochi Soul Reaver for 5 and a black. It's a snake ninja rogue. That's a 5/4. Had ninjutsu for 3 and a black. And whenever one or more creatures you control deals combat damage to a player, create a treasure token and manifest the top card of that player's library.
It would make me livid. Make me so mad.
That's so stupid. Oh my goodness.
Create a treasure token and manifest? Oh, that's brutal. And ninjutsu, so you don't even know it's coming.
That's so... Oh my goodness, that's so sick.
Ninjutsu hurts. They gotta stop printing that stuff. I'm too dumb to know that somebody might be flashing something.
But
Daniel,
like,
it's a Yuriko deck. No, there's no way I could have told.
What do you mean?
They keep on making like decks like that where I'm just tempted to buy them and everyone hates me because I keep on stealing everything. Like this Gonti's deck is just you guys cannot let me get this deck. This is just so stupid.
Well, wait till you read the next one. Who is Slothy next one?
Yeah.
Slothy's next.
Slothy, please.
We've got Thieving Varmint. 1 and a black for a 2/1 creature Varmint with Death Touch and Lifelink. You can tap to pay 1 life, add 2 mana of any one color. Spend this mana only to cast spells you don't own.
Wait, dang you.
I don't like that.
I want to say.
I don't like that, yeah. The flavor text on it is also really funny after seeing what the Varmint was doing with the pocket watch. Elsa wasn't sure she even wanted it back. What was going on? This Varma the freak.
What was he doing there?
Whoa,
I like PG, the fact that we have a, I like the fact we have a new creature type.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
We have, I like the name of this card, Cataclysmic Prospecting, X double red. Deals X damage to each creature for each mana from a desert spent this way. Create a tap treasure token. Not horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. It's passable.
Not bad. It's interesting. I like the fact that like it says that you get treasures from using deserts.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
All right. We got the next card, Crackling Spellslinger for 3 and 2 red. Human Wizard, 2/2. It has flash. When Crackling Spellslinger enters the battlefield, if you cast it, the next instant or sorcery spell you cast this turn has storm.
The next what?
The yeah. next instant That's or sorcery crazy. Spell you have has storm? You gotta be kidding me.
And also as an ETB, because why wouldn't it just be an ETB?
Right.
Oh, it's if you cast it. Okay, at least it's not as bad. But you can panharmonic on that ETB if you cast it. I could see this one being a problem. I could see this one being a real issue.
Yeah. Oh my god! Not gonna lie, I would find a way to just like storm off with something like a fork or
yeah. Being able to give something storm like storm is a problem already on the cards it's on, but being able to choose what card you're going to storm is very very different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I storm Jeska's Will 19 times.
Oh.
I make 1,700 mana. I pass. What?
It's about the idea.
It's about sending a message. Slothy, please.
Yeah. Next up, we've got Dead Before Sunrise. 3 and a red for an instant. Until end of turn, outlaw creatures you control get +1/+0 and gain tap. This creature deals damage equal to its power to target creature. Mm. Daniel's mistake wasn't just coming alone. It was believing his rival had done the same.
All right. First off, I'm gonna admit that's pretty good flavor text. You do have to pull that out against me. I'll give you that. I thought that's me playing Commander on most nights. That's really really funny, actually. You know what? I actually like this card now. That's hilarious. Daniel's mistake.
We need to get you a blow up of this. And just like highlight the flavor text for it and put it in your background.
I'm going to get that flavor text on a jersey. It'll be on my back. Dead Before Sunrise. I got it on my back like a Bible verse. We have our Elemental Eruption. 4 double red. You create a 4/4 red dragon elemental creature token with flying and prowess with storm. It's not bad. Decent.
All right.
Decent storm card.
We got Embrace the Unknown for 2 and a red. Sorcery. Exile the top 2 cards of your library. Until the end of your next turn, you may play those cards, and it has retrace.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Decent with the retrace. Because it doesn't exile from the graveyard, right? You can just keep throwing lands away. Is that right?
Yeah.
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 It's not bad. Especially in a deck that wants to throw lands away. It's all right.
Yeah. Then we've got Pyretic Charge. 4 and a red for a sorcery. Discard your hand and draw 4 cards. For each card discarded this way, creatures you control get +1/+0 until end of turn, and it's got plot for 3 and a red.
I don't think that's bad. No. Draw 4 for 5 isn't horrible, especially with pay it for free later. It's draw 4 for 4 on a different turn at its worst.
Mm-hmm. True. I don't know how I feel about this card yet. I need to play with it.
I feel that way with a lot of these ones. Like they seem good in theory, but we'll see. Oh, I'm in love with some of the next artworks we're coming up with. We have our Smoldering Stagecoach. It's a vehicle. 3 and a red. Star 5. Power equal to the number of instant sorceries, blah, blah, blah. When it attacks, the next instant spell and the next sorcery spell you cast this turn have cascade with crew 2. That's very good. Giving both an instant and then a sorcery cascade, that's a very strong attack trigger.
I agree. That's mm-hmm. nice.
I love the artwork on the next one.
We have Dune Chanter for 2 and a green. It's a planted druid that's a 2/3. It has reach. Lands you control and land cards you own that aren't on the battlefield are deserts in addition to their other types. And then it has lands you control have tap to add 1 mana of any color. And you can tap the Dune Chanter to mill 2 cards. You gain 1 life for each land card milled this way.
That's wicked.
That's pretty good.
That's really, really good. That would be a fun commander. reach lands you control and lands you own that aren't on the battlefield or deserts. That's very, very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is just, this whole set's making me build the Nephilim Commander with the deserts. We all know this. We all know it's coming.
Oh, yeah.
We all know it's legendary enough. It's close enough to, it's legendary adjacent, like my Grouphug decks. I really, really love that ability. That lands you control have one mana, like the color fix for three mana. That's mm-hmm. very good. That's very, very playable.
Absolutely.
I might buy the land deck because I just kind of want to play that silly cactus, and I'm too lazy to go try to find the cactus. I just want
was it Kiri or something?
Yeah, exactly. Just the cactus. That's it.
Yeah.
Plant druids for days. Supremacy.
Next one we've got here is Rumbleweed. 10 and a green for an 8/8 plant elemental. Costs one less to cast for each land card in your graveyard. Vigilance, reach, and trample. When it enters the battlefield, other creatures you control get +3/+3 and trample until end of turn.
I want it to be good, but it just seems like it's not that good, but I want it to be good.
It is quite expensive.
That's really, really expensive.
Part of me hates how expensive these cards are, but part of me kind of loves how expensive these cards are. Don't get me wrong, because I like playing with stupid cards like in blue, there's a card called Energy Tap.
I love it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Where you tap a creature and you, its casting cost is what you get for, colorless mana.
It's an enchantment too. You get the amount of the permanent.
Yeah. For CMC. Yeah. So when I see stuff like this, I'm like, oh, how can I abuse it?
An 11 mana 8/8 is pretty big. It's a creature buff. It doesn't give them haste. If it gave them haste, I would be like, all right, this guy gets it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think even
if he himself had haste and it was creatures you control get +3/+3 and trample.
Well, then it comes down as an 11/11 vigilance, reach, trample. I can understand that. And at 11 mana, you deserve it to attack.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Right? I hate the next artwork. That is terrifying. The Savvy Trader, what? Looking into my soul. What is that about? What curse did I just place upon myself? Savvy Trader is 3 and a green for a human citizen, which should be a nightmare. 3/3, when it enters the battlefield, exile target permanent from your graveyard. You may play it as long as it remains exiled. Spells you cast from anywhere other than your hand are one less, so commander reduction. I don't know. I feel like I've damned my bloodline by looking upon this. What is this artwork? Am I crazy?
It's just the eyes and the smile.
Yeah.
So.
And the lifeless corpse that inhabits this artwork? I don't know. I don't like this. I wouldn't trade anything with this person.
We end up Bernie's the card.
Yeah, right? I don't like that. Cool artwork on the back, though.
So the next card we have is Tower Winder. It's a 1 and a green. It's a snake that the 1/1 has reach and death touch. When the Winder enters the battlefield, search your library for and or graveyard for a card named Command Tower. Whoa, hey. Reveal it and put it into your hand. If you search your library this way, shuffle. Hey, yo, that's
Very interesting.
That's cool.
I kind of like that. At its worst, it's a 1/1 reach death touch with cool artwork, which is no problem with that. That's great stats. But I like that it fetches a command tower. That is great. Great grab.
This is going to be an expensive card. Think of all the 5-color decks that will want this.
Mm-hmm.
Fetching your command tower is very interesting. And it's I like it. I like every part of that. You go get it. You're not searching for anything crazy broken. I'm all right with this one.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I could see this one needing a reprint for sure, like in a Commander Masters. In just my personal thoughts, I'm not a set designer. I know not much about Magic, but I just maybe replace Zatalpa in the next Commander Masters or Talrand. I think we have enough. I think as a community, we have enough. Mm, I'm pretty sure Talrand's in one of these decks too.
I think Talrand might need a reprint.
Yeah.
It is getting up there. It's what, like $1.50 now?
Hold on, hear me. I don't think it is. I think if you had a stack of Talrands, you'd still be short on your $1.50. It's pretty rough. What is Talrand's price really quick? Somebody know?
Talrand right now, he's 38 cents.
It's a lot. Talrand's a banger. But what if we gave you Tauren from the side profiles?
That one.
Well.
That was like 250 or something like that. 249.
I do really think that this Tower Winder has a real place in a lot of decks.
Agree. I like it a lot.
I like this next card a lot because it's just these plants are just given the boots to this saloon door.
Just a side note, if you want the non-foil version of the profile Talrand, it is going to run you 88 cents.
It's not even a dollar for the foil version.
The foil is $1.20.
Oh, okay, there we go. We're getting there. So you're saying I can run two Talrands and still be at $1.50?
Frothy, take us on the next card.
Yeah. We've got Vengeful Regrowth. 4 double green for a sorcery. Return up to 3 target land cards from your graveyard to the battlefield tapped. Create that many 4/2 plant warrior creature tokens with reach, and it has flashback for 6 double green.
I like it. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I think that's actually pretty cool.
I really do like the artwork of it.
Oh, this plant deck's artwork just has got me feeling away.
Yeah.
We have Greywater's Fixer, 2/1 black, 1 red for a 4/4 lizard mercenary. Each outlaw creature card in your graveyard has Encore X, where X is its mana value. I could see that being not bad.
Yep.
Bad? Ooh, this is interesting. Okay, we got a bounty board for 3 mana. It's an artifact. Tap to add 1 mana of any color. You can also tap 1 and tap it to put a bounty counter on target creature and activate only as a sorcery. When a creature with a bounty counter on it dies, each of its controllers or controller's opponents draws a card and gains 2 life.
It's group hug.
Group hug-ish.
It's group hug enough. Each of its controllers.
Opponents.
Each of its controllers,
so if
opponents.
You put a bounty counter on my creature and it dies, you and Slothy would get.
That is a great way to focus removal at things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Put that right on Toxtrol.
I think this was a very nice design.
I like a lot of 3 mana rocks that add 1 mana of any color. Like I like them. I think they're generally like decent budget spots and color fixing. I run a lot of 3 mana rocks. I think it's made my games more fun when I moved away from the faster.
Yeah.
So I like this card. I think it's got a great place in it.
Yeah. Then we've got Dream Thief's Bandana, 2 mana for an equipment. Whenever equipped creature looks or deals combat damage to a player, look at the top card of their library, then exile it face down. For as long as it remains exiled, you may play it, and mana of any type can be spent to cast it, and it has equipped for 1.
I saw the artwork. I looked over, but my brain read Dream Thief's Banana.
I had to try really hard not to say that.
Yeah, Dream Thief's Banana. I like it.
Oh, now I'm hungry. I have banana bread downstairs.
It also has the perfect space, perfect empty space, if you look at that artwork, to Photoshop a banana there.
Yep. Right in the hand.
Stop talking about food.
I love bananas. Bananas are so good. That's pretty decent. I like it. We have Leyline Dowser. 2 mana. You pay 1 mill card. You may put an instant or sorcery mill this way into your hand. I don't like this. Tap an untapped legendary creature you control. Untap it. It doesn't seem good.
Yeah.
I would take this out of whatever deck it was in.
Yeah.
It's not wonderful. That's me. That's fair. I got nothing more to say on that. Trash.
Fair enough. Next one, though, is Cactus Preserve. It is a land and it is a desert. It enters the battlefield tapped, and you can tap it to add 1 mana of any type that a land you control could produce. For 3 mana, until end of turn, it becomes an XX green plant creature with reach, where X is the greatest mana value among your commanders. It's still a land. I like that.
In fairness, if you do it on Yuma, that's a big boy.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just about to say. Yeah. So Yuma as a card was designed around Cactus Preserve, right?
Around this one enters tapped land.
Right?
I want this for the Pride of the Hulklade.
Mm.
Yeah, that is a big card.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, I just like finding ways to abuse the fact that you have a high mana cost in something.
Yeah, I don't think we'll do the other spoilers for now. That's we got through a lot of these ones. We'll probably do it. You get it next week. You get it next week, and maybe with a proper introduction. We'll see. I'll play whatever songs I want.
If you behave.
Yeah, if you behave. Otherwise, background music the whole time. Just Kaylin singing in the background. My biggest problem with this is they went absurdly hard with the artwork on the plant set. They went as hard as it goes.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
Did you see the full art for Kiri?
I did not. Let me scroll on down. Yo, that's down sick.
It's so cute.
I'm going to build this Kiri for sure. I really, really... I will build Kiri almost certainly. You guys will see a deck tech of it. That is a very that looks really good. The VN full art too also looks really, really nice. Like these in foil are gonna pop so nicely. This Kiri in foil is gonna make me lose my mind. But like I was saying, they went so the art's so good. The art is absurdly good on like the plant stuff. Not even only on the plant stuff, like even on the outlaw cards that I don't think are very good here, it's really good artwork. Like the artwork on all of these are really nice, but they didn't really design many. I think we get like three new plants that aren't commanders, 1, 2, 3, and then I guess the cactus, but like that's not enough to go this hard with the artwork.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, the art is phenomenal.
It's fantastic.
I don't think there's an art in this set I don't really like. Like I said, I think it's mm-hmm. I think it's goofy that they're all running around in cowboy hats and stuff. But like I forgot Savvy Trader. I do dislike that artwork. That one stares into my soul. But no, like the Vengeful Regrowth is a hilarious artwork. The Dune Chanter I just really like. Like that's so cool with like the cactuses with the flowers on them. Like the mm-hmm. I like it. I want more of that kind of design.
Or yeah. Even ones that we didn't really take too much note of the artwork, like Embrace the Unknown. The art on that is incredible.
Let me find that one. Where's our Embrace the Unknown? We're scrolling.
It is directly above Dune Chapter.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that is pretty crazy. All of the tornadoes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But all of it, like I said, the art direction in this set was it's good. It's more in line with what I personally like to see in like Magic stuff. I'm not as much a fan of like the I didn't like the Fallout stuff. I felt it didn't really fit into Magic, right? But they really have gone above and beyond with the artwork in this set. Like there's just so many really, really good pieces in this.
Mm-hmm.
Simon Dominic on this Kiri. I'm gonna have to go find some Simon Dominic stuff.
I'm still iffy on this. Like we still gotta like on the next spoilers. We still gotta talk about some of the new mechanics because I got some choice words about the crime mechanic.
Fair.
Oh, I'm just looking right here. Simon Dominic like did a lot of the artworks that I really like. The Prickly Marmoset, the Zaxara, a lot of dinosaurs. Yeah, really, really cool. Let me make sure that's right. Yeah, Simon Dominic on Zaxara. Zaxara's great artwork.
Mm-hmm.
But of these four commander decks, like Daniel, we know you want the Yuma.
Yeah, I would play the Yuma one.
Slothy, I imagine, like you said, you want the Olivia one. Is there any other one that you would want or would you pick over? Or like if you had to pick one?
Honestly, if I had to pick one, I think, it would be Olivia. Honestly, the other three minus maybe Yuma don't really stick out to me that much.
Yeah.
But Olivia, oh boy. How about you?
I would, of the four, I would probably take the Gonti because, like, I like Olivia. Yuma seems really interesting. Stella Lee, as much as I'm normally a spell slinger kind of a person, the deck just seems kind of meh to me.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, that's very fair.
At least with Gonti, like, I know for a fact I'm going to be the first one out of the game.
Yeah, at least you know why you're getting swung at.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, and like, let's not forget that these decks also have like 37, 38, 40 lands in them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's like having a spell slinger deck where I'm like, you know, I'm not running, like, I'm running like 37 lands, you know, with spells that like are like 4 cost, 5 cost, 6 cost. Does it feel like a spellslinger deck to me? Right. No. I'd rather just throw into Gonti instead. And like, especially with that much mana, then I can cast all your spells and I still have a handful, a fistful of cards.
The Gonti does look like a blast.
Yeah. So, and plus, like, I like stealing stuff and not giving it back.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that these commander decks are looking pretty decent.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely excited to try them out.
I am going to pick up the plant one because it seems fun. And I might make a second Kyrie. I might make one that is Yuma, one that is Kyrie, like leave the precon. I've kind of liked leaving some of the precons together. They've been building them nicely.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's it. That's it. Where's my outro button? Yeah, thank you guys for getting through another one of our nonsensical episodes. If you like what you're seeing, you can go to into99.com, see everything else. We got good articles, we have our videos, everything's kind of there. If you enjoyed what you do, what you saw, like, share, subscribe, it helps out. People see us, they get to come join in, have good times. If you want to support us above and beyond the like, share, subscribe, go ahead, join us over on Patreon. You'll see me brewing some kind of things like this Kiri deck. And just a good spot to check it out. We do have a free tier on Patreon. So if you ever want to just come see spoilers, be in the Discord, kind of chat a little bit. You don't get the private chat, but you still get to say hello and stuff, interact a little bit. We're more active in the actual like Patreon section of it because we have wonderful patrons. And yeah, other than that, that's pretty much it. Cool stuff. You guys get it? Yeah, really. Everyone should be giving us a 5-star. Come on. I'm trying my best out here. Trying to keep the lights on. What are we talking about? Join us over on Patreon with it. And yeah, that's pretty much it. That's the end. Yeah, look at my little scroll lights. Like, share, subscribe. Do it. 5-star. You guys get it? Yeah. That's it.
Right, everyone.
I'm happy to enter there. Easy. Oh, and
see,
let me
you guys later.
Yeah, let me know what needs to go in Kiri. I want to build this deck for sure.
Strip mines, nothing but strip mines.
Oh, it's all strip mines. The desert is their mana base. All right, bye-bye, everyone.
Later.
I'll let it roll out a little bit. Oh, okay.
You should put an oasis, prevent one damage to a current creature. There you go. Now we can end it.
It's the right spot to end.